Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And we have a great special bonus episode for you today. Now, for those listening, you'll know that we are currently wrapped up in season 22 of Top Chef, which is airing right now on Bravo. But if you are true fans, you'll know that we are huge fans of Great British and Great American Baking Show. And we cover that in the off season. And this is a special episode because today we get the honor of speaking to season 3 of Great American Baking Show on the Roku channel, their winner, Kim Clark. Welcome to the pod.
Woo!
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to chat with you. Fellow New Yorker as well.
Yes.
It's fun to take – it's a little bit of a palate cleanser for us and in the Top Chef world. And so it's fun to come back to just our pure baking roots and joy of just cooking competition. It's good in any form, isn't it?
It really is.
But we especially love it when we can talk to the winner. Aww. So we're so glad you're here today. I think to kick things off, let's start at the beginning, Kim. Where did baking come about? Like, what inspired you to start baking?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, it's very interesting because as a little girl, my grandparents lived with my parents and I. And I was always the kind of person that liked to help. And when my grandmother and mother were baking and I would watch, I would just, you know, and we're talking like the age of 4 or 5, I'd want to help. And they never wanted me to help. My mom would be like, here's a piece of dough. Go play with it in the corner. And I would like make like a mush and that would be the end of it. But then eventually, like, you know, they weren't stupid. They realized, okay, next set of hands, they can help us. You know, she can help. And so I would just help. Now, was I good? No. It was like a god-awful pie or whatever. But those memories of watching and then starting to help were so ingrained. And then it was just something that I did on occasion. I would make a cake or a pie. I never really thought about it as a great passion or love until, like, as I got older. It was always there, always present. I would make a cake for a friend's birthday or what have you. But then I think it was probably in my 20s. After I graduated college, I went to a conservatory in the city and was an actress. And whether I would have a successful audition or not, I would find myself going to Barnes and Noble and just sitting there and like writing recipes and then taking them home, you know, because you didn't have to buy the cookbook. They let you just sit there because I had no money. So
looking,
you know,
free.
A cup of coffee. It was free. I still have them. It's kind of charming. Like you see like my chicken scratch on these little memo pads. But then steadily through the years, you can really see that kind of that growth of like me creating reasons to bake. And I would do a lot of volunteer work for animal rescue. And I would say, well, how about I just do like a bake sale? And, you know, that's what I'm donating. Like all the proceeds would go to animal rescue. And on the road with the auto show, I literally would like bake for my crew and like bring it in my luggage. And, you know, I would get my team and they'd be like, we're going to get Kim's bakes, you know, and I would give it to like the TSA. I'm like, here, have a macaron. Like, let me go through.
Wait, what's the craziest thing you've ever packed? Put in a suitcase. God.
The craziest thing. Well, the craziest thing I ever packed, this is a great story. 2 years ago when I auditioned for the show, I was in Europe during the New York tasting. So I was like, well, I've got to attend. So where else are you going to be? And they said LA. I literally packed fondant and all my tools and all this cockamamie in my luggage like a freak because a friend of mine let me stay there and I baked in her kitchen and I auditioned there. P.S. her kitchen, her oven did not work. It was like a hot mess.
It's like the tent. I feel like the oven it's never works. So perfect prep. Yeah.
Please. I'm telling you, I was, because this was my fourth year applying and like you could see like, I'm going to get in that damn tent. Yeah. And, you know, fondant in a wad. Try explaining that to TSA. Like, what the hell is this? It looks like it looks weird.
You were actually the second guest we've ever had on the show who brought something insane through TSA. We had a friend who is like a pit master in Texas, and he brought like a whole barbecued pig through TSA.
A pig? Oh, he wins. More or less. Come on, he wins.
Yeah, but you took yours across. You cross country, a little farther.
I also remember in the show you said that you brought all that stuff with you, so it was good prep for getting it over to the UK.
You have no idea what I put in my luggage. And I'll tell you this, because flying so much for auto shows, you know, I'm platinum status, whatever. But I get to JFK, and it was Virgin Airlines, and I have these two, you know, bags filled, like 70 pounds each. And they tell me, oh, you could have brought a third. And I looked at my husband like, what? Like,
That was your job. What the hell?
Yeah, like I should have known that, because I literally would have packed a whole third piece of luggage full of love.
Ignorance is bliss. Why do you even tell me that at that point? Like, just let
me be ignorant with my own like insanity.
Well, you say that you applied to the show four times. So let's, before we get to the tent, let's talk a little bit about how you got to the show. I did not know that you had applied that many times. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the process for getting on the show and why you wanted to go on in the first place?
Sure. It's a great question. So years ago, lots of friends told me, you know, there's this show on TV. I think you'd love it. Okay. What is it? Great British Baking Show. Okay. I put it off, whatever. And then I finally watched it and became obsessed. I mean, truly, like I'm a student of the show. I love the people. I'm friends with them on Instagram. Like it's like white noise in the background. Mm-hmm. And so then when it became, there's an American version, because unless I'm moving to, you know, the UK, I'm not getting on the British one. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, now that's got to be something I'm going to try. And many, many years, friends, and it's lovely. They are like, Kim, you should get on a baking show. I'm like, I'm not that good. Like, thank you, but I don't know. So, okay, so I tried out, you know, 4 years ago, and I did very well. And then COVID hit. I actually got to the round where they wanted me to go to the tasting. And then COVID hit. And I'll never forget, because I was on the phone and my mom, who lives with my husband, and I was like, Kimmy, don't go. There's this virus. I don't want you, because she's of a certain age and she didn't want me to get sick. She wanted me to bring it to her. And I'm like, how am I not going to go? And then ultimately I said to the producers, I'm really sorry. My mom lives with me and I don't want to get her sick. They didn't do that season. It ended up being, it was a wash. So, okay. The next year I applied and heard nothing. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? Like, not even a callback? What the hell? Okay. Then the third year was what I was just saying, that I was in Europe when the New York casting tasting was happening. So I flew myself to LA. I did really well, because it's a very long process, which I'm sure you know, speaking to Martin and just being fans of the show. You know, you submit this very long application with a video. Speaking of like, coming up with the reasons to bake. I literally made a cake on the video and said, I know you can't taste it, but I made this for you. Yeah, I'm that kind of cuckoo. but it got me, you know, the next round. But so, yeah, I went to LA. I did very well. I ended up going, you know, there's other things. You do a Zoom call. They do an interview on the phone. And then they fly you to LA. And it's basically a simulation of the game, where they go, you know, here's the recipe. You're in a room with everybody else. You know, you share a workbench, and they go, ready, set, bake. And you're like, holy crap. And then you're I got to make this in 2 hours. And then the audition process is, you know, they're filming you as you do it. And they interview you, which at that point, as you can imagine, I'm a ham. So I'm like, get out of my way. This, I can tell you stories and make you laugh and whatever. And bake while I do it. I did well, did not get on. Okay. I'm like, well, four happens to be my lucky number. Just happens to be through life. And so this year I was like, I'm going to do it again. The funny thing was, each video that I would do with the original application, you know, you have to say your age. And so it was a running joke with me. I'm like, well, this year I'm this age. I'm like, now I'm 54.
Well, when we met, I was this age.
yeah. Sir. I'm like, now I'm decrepit, but I'm still 20. you know, first I was the ingenue of the piece. Now I'm the old lady, but what are you going to do? But yeah. And so I did the whole process again and I got on.
Well, we are so grateful that you got on because you, A, this, we're laughing so hard in this interview and we get to talk to you, but you were such a treat to watch on the show. Oh. As you said, you're a bit of a ham. You told great stories. But the thing that I would love to know is you got, was it the first Paul Hollywood handshake of the season?
It was not, although thank you for thinking that. Pablo.
Oh, yes. Pablo in episode one. Yes.
Such a well-deserved handshake. I mean, he was right behind me. And when they called time for that first damn challenge, and I turned around, I looked at what he made, and like my little turds, I was just like, what am I doing here? Like, I'm so out of my
league. Those giant, like, cannolis, kind of.
Cannolis with, like, pink, like embossed and like a delight on a platter. And I'm like, mine is little brown, little poops. Like, what in the hell? I love them all. I mean, we literally talk every day on WhatsApp. Aww. Like, it's sick.
But tell us about your handshake.
Yes. Mine, I got the first almost handshake.
Yes, you got like a halvesy.
I got a tease. I got a, oh, I want to do it, but I can't. And boop, boop. Okay. But I got the second one. I think it was the second one.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes.
So it was one of those, you know, like in slow motion, like moments that you're just, you don't know what's happening. You're just like the Hitchcockian kind of, the camera goes. And it made me teary-eyed. I mean, I'm very, you know, my heart's on my sleeve kind of a person, you know. It just meant so much to me because it was, maybe because it was building, you know what I mean? Like the week prior was so close with my, you know, my dad, because it was dedicated to my dad who I was so close with and I love so much. And then this, it was a moment I'll never forget, really. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's incredible. How did his hands feel? Are they soft?
You know, I don't remember. But I can tell you about the moment and how I felt. It was surreal. I mean,
yeah,
just felt like a hand, you know, like it's not like the Messiah or anything.
So we're talking first impressions of Paula Hollywood's hand, but just first impressions of the tent. What does it feel like to walk in there? Where was your head at with this first bake? Like, what's going through your mind as you're taking it all in?
Yeah, the first time we saw the tent, it was the day before. So there was no baking at all. Like, they took our pictures and, you know, that was exciting because, like, oh, my God. I likened it to a color form. I'm aging myself. Where literally it was a toy where you, like, peeled the sticker off and then you stuck it on, you know, backgrounds. Uh-huh. That's how I felt. Because being such a fan of the British show and the American show – and then being there, you're just like, what's happening? Like, I want to wake. Like, am I dreaming? Wake me up. What the hell? And I walked around like a kid in heaven. Like, it was just glorious. Everything about it, the flags and the lights and the cast, the crew are just as lovely as could be. I mean, you know, we're Americans on their soil, so we're all like freaks. You know, each one of us are our own particular characters, like straight out of Central Casting. It was from the word boo, it was a delight. I mean, even when you're stressed and you're just like cry, like me, I'm crying back at the apartment. It's like, you know, I'm going to do this tart to tan for how many times, like burning myself, cutting myself. And still, like, my husband and I laugh because I would be so stressed and, you know, neurotic and then go, but I'm having such fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what the hell? Yeah.
Well, talk to us about some of the bakes. What's a favorite challenge that you're going to remember from this season?
Okay. So I said I just wanted to survive. So every bake, I'm like, I wasn't trying to win. I wasn't trying to be star baker. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to survive. But there are some bakes that I'm like, if I get to this one, I'll be so happy. There were some very special ones. The one for my dad, the cherry mint almond bundt, was very special. My dad worked hard all of his life, two jobs. We were very close. I take after my dad in many ways. So I wanted to do that for him and honor him. I really wanted to get to Bread Week because I wanted to make Mr. Bentley. As soon as I saw that challenge, I knew that they knew what I was going to make. You know what I mean? Like you come in with the, like during the final round when you had to simulate the game, they were interviewing me and one of the producers came in and the other producer said to her, do you know this one has a following of, and before he could finish, she goes, oh yeah, that's the one with the bulldog. And so it's like, you know, my legend precedes me. I just wanted to do that for the fans to be like, I am, this is for all you out there that loved Mr. Bentley and love me and my family. I mean, honestly, when I got that, you know, the brief, I said to my husband, you have to build me a throne. And we literally went to Home Depot and like out of PVC piping and all this cockamamie, we built, and I put that in the luggage too, with like directions, with like, I wrote on each piece, like A1, B2, and it was like an erector set. Oh yeah, you have no idea.
Wow.
So when Prue called me like an ambassador to the show, first of all, I didn't know she was going to say that. I watched it for the first time, like everybody did, but what went into of everything, like it was so elaborate how I planned, like the diorama, I literally constructed it. They didn't show it, and I wish they had, because it was a beautiful moment. I constructed it like a puzzle, so each piece, whether it was the backdrop, stage left or stage right, it had tabs and slots. And so because there's only a certain amount of time, so the royal icing was great, and the platter I used had a lip. So when I put, like, okay, so this was the back thing, and this was the platter. It was like this. It kind of tilted, so the walls, it helped it stay up with the tabs and the holes. And Prue, when she first saw it, she goes, "That's ingenious." I was like, "Get that on camera. Keep that."
You heard it here first.
Yeah. So, I mean, each one was special. That was special. Mr. Bentley was special. The ending bake was so special because, and they didn't show this, and I was surprised, but okay. So the story I made for my tasting, Rudy the Rabbit. Now, Rudy the Rabbit, if you know the movie Meatballs with Bill Murray and the character, Chris Makepeace, his character was called Rudy. And it was about like the rich camp, and then the poor camp and Rudy, and it was this marathon race at the end. And they pick Rudy, who's like downtrodden, like the underdog. And he's like, I'm not going to win this. Like, there's no way. They have everything. What am I going to do? And Bill Murray does this pep talk, like, you're Rudy the Rabbit. You can bob and weave and get through the brambles. And so when it came to the end, like a spring celebration, I'm like, I have to take Rudy because Rudy got me here. And I'm like Rudy. I'm like, you know, I'm maybe the girl that's going to make you laugh, but I'm like the little blonde. You might think I'm ditzy. You know, she'll go home week three. Who cares? But she's funny. But there I am at the end because everybody's talented. Let's face it. You get to that tent, you're brilliant. You have your strengths. Right. You have your weaknesses. It's anybody's game, truly. I think I was maybe the unlikely winner. I don't know. It's the eye of the beholder. But I had to bring Rudy. And so at the end, when, you know, I'm like, here's Rudy. And the best part, everything went wrong in the finale. Everything. The Italian meringue buttercream wouldn't set up. It was supposed to have all these flowers. I didn't give you a single posy, whatever. Rudy's head wouldn't come out. I was literally like hacking his head. And I said to him, I go, Rudy, you're getting a lobotomy. Come on. Like, and you could hear like the crew was laughing and all, whatever. My oven turned off in the middle of the cherry pie. And I was like, oh my God, like I lost 15 minutes there. So at the end, when you see me crying and I say, I can't believe I did that. It literally was because I didn't think I would have a bake. I truly thought I'm going to have nothing. I'm going to be that fool that implodes at the end and be like, here's some shit ass on a platter. Go ahead and kill me, you know? But so when I stuck his appendages in, like his fondant legs and arms, I burst out into tears because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have something. Mm-hmm. And that's when I said, I can't believe I just did that because it was like 4 hours of hell. And at the end, I was proud of it. So
it's incredible.
I will always remember that.
And a note to end on, and that's stellar. But yeah, that's just And it's fun because, you know, it's entertaining and it's good TV for us, but it's good. I have to imagine there's a feeling of growth and accomplishment just being in the driver's seat of that. And but all this talk of Rudy and Mr. Bentley, we would be remiss if we did not ask about Mr. Bentley's world. Can you tell us a bit about that, your work just in and around animal awareness and the volunteer work that you do?
Sure. Thank you for asking about that because it is near and dear to my heart. So I like to help people and it's a big love of mine to help animals. So one summer I found myself with nothing to do because auto show, we used to do these tours and they stopped. So I had a friend that said, well, why don't you have a Facebook page? I'm like, I'm not going to be one of those freaks that has a page for the dog. Cut to lunatic. And so it started out literally, I was just going to be off camera. And Mr. Bentley in all these crazy costumes, because he was so easy. And I would put a crown on him. And like he was Chucky one year. I made this elephant costume, like all this craziness. And I would do this voice. It didn't sound like a male bulldog. It sounded like this old lady. Because they'd be like, hello, everybody. Mr. Bentley here. Yeah, insane. And then eventually you saw me. And the fan population, it grew and it was big. And then the pandemic happened and nobody went anywhere. And I, you know, inadvertently, I wasn't planning on it. I would literally just have a cup of coffee, my hair in a bun, no makeup on, looking like ass. And people would tune in from around the world because I would home cook for Bentley. And it helped prolong his life, actually. And literally, it was like the town square. And people would just feel safe there, feel less lonely, because nobody knew what was going on. And the viewership went insane. Like it really got to like 60,000 viewers. And people would say, I would go, you know, hey, Nancy, hey, Bits, where are you tuning in from? And then people would be like, I'm tuning in from Saudi Arabia, Djibouti, Seychelles, like truly, like to this day. And like, I have fans that constantly tune in, like constantly. And then I use it as a platform and, you know, sometimes I'll bake and it's always live. God knows what I'm going to say. And I just go with it. And sometimes I'll do like special episodes where I'm like, I'm going to bake you, you know, a pie. It's free. But if you want to donate to Animal Rescue, here's the links. I once did an off-Broadway show cause I'm an actor. I did an off-Broadway show, from a play that my friend wrote. And we all were like sitting around like, how can we raise money for Long Island Bulldog Rescue? And I said, well, you know, I don't have money, but I have talented friends. And I asked them all, everybody said yes. We did one night a fundraiser at New World Stages where Rent played.
Wow.
Petco found out about it. We raised 25 grand in one night.
Wow.
Again, it's like something that I'm so proud of. So Mr. Bentley's world is sort of like, it's an extension of my heart because animals are such beautiful creatures. They can't be their own voice. We have to help them. And if there's anything I've learned in life, it's that we're not alone. Like even in the tent, if I had any success, it's not just me. Like I likened it to Harry Potter. You know, it's like I have all my loved ones are around me and you might just see me, but it's a whole army that got me here. And if I could use that to help people in need, animals in need, make you just feel less lonely in life, make you laugh. Mm-hmm. And that's what Mr. Bentley's about. It's an LLC. I make no money. It'd be nice if I did, but that's not why I do it. I do it because at the end of my life, if I did something good, I made somebody else's life easier, I helped an animal survive, then my life was worth it. See, now I'm getting all like, you know, but it's true. It's like Mr. Bentley's world makes somebody else feel recognized and seen, and an animal who needed an operation. Well, I helped raise money for that dog. I once did again, like, I don't mean this to sound like, oh, look at me at all. You know, I'm big on social media and there's this one lady who does so much for so many bulldogs who need wheelchairs. And so I said to her, I go, I don't have any money, but what can I do? Like she had this online auction. I said, how about I make cookies and you could use that as like people could bid on that. And so I made this whole thing. I put Bentley next to all these cookies, and the winner, I would like do another version with their dog's name on it, whatever. It raised $1,000 for these cookies. Now, I'm a good cook, a baker, whatever the hell. But $1,000 for cookies? Live and be well. But it did. And so it's like, okay. And that's, just incredible. So whether it's making people laugh, raising money for dogs, making you feel less lonely, it is something that I am greatly proud of. So thank you for letting me talk about it, really.
It's so wonderful to hear. It's just, I think that we forget, and this goes the same for Great American, Great British, Top Chef. There's just a world that surrounds the people like you that we love to follow in a very kind of like specific way, but there's an entire story around you. And so that's why we love talking to people one-on-one, because we just get the full sense of them and their world and the people that support them and the causes that they support. So thank you for sharing with us. And we need to go check out some Mr. Bentley content right away. But before we do, I think just one note to finish on while we have you is, winner, Great American Baking Show, what advice would you give to aspiring bakers wanting to make it to Bake Off or just follow their passion for baking generally?
It's a great question. I say that if I can do it, anyone can do that. If I can do it, anyone can do it. And it doesn't just have to be baking. I think if you have a passion for something and a drive, the only person stopping you is yourself. You know, life is hard enough. There are enough people out there that are going to tell you no. Mm-hmm. Don't you be one of them. Mm-hmm. Because you truly, people, I think, get in the way of themselves. It's funny. I was in Minneapolis doing an auto show when I got the call. It was on April 1st. And I was taking a nap. And the phone call came in. I thought somebody was punking me. And they said I, made the next round. And I thought, oh my God, how am I going to make this happen? And I literally, said to my boss, I got to go. I didn't even tell them what it was for. I said, it's a TV show and I got a call back and I have to go. And I hope it doesn't reflect on my job. Let the last 18 years be a testament. If it does put my job in jeopardy, God bless. But I have to go. And I sometimes hashtag it like, say yes to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you say yes to yourself, you might not quote unquote win. You might not get in the 10th this year. It might take you 4 years, mm-hmm. but you'll get better. You'll discover things about yourself. Like the year prior, I realized I better up my bread game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. they asked me, what did you do this past year? And I said, I worked on my bread. So now I love, which is funny because I won bread week. So I thought, well, now here you go. Look at
there
that.
There you go. Just got to focus.
Yeah. I say, you know what? Believe in yourself. Don't say no to yourself. And work on something that you're not good at. Hone what you're good at. Recognize we all have strengths and weaknesses in life. Don't do too much. Because honestly, you can make, the Taj Mahal and you've got 2 hours. So you know what? Scale it back and go, I can do, let's say, like, 3 cookies tremendously well, as opposed to 5 that's kind of good. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Do play into your strengths and be yourself. I mean, truly, it's like I said before, I'm a character. I'm not trying to be. It's just who I am. But, I might not be everybody's cup of tea, and that's fine. But if you're true to yourself, I think there's joy and love in that. Like, so many strangers, friends too, but they know me. But strangers that are just like, you were just so much fun to watch because you were just so happy to be there. And I'm like, well, yeah, of course I was happy to be. It's a dream. So I just say yes to yourself. And you never know what could happen. And really just, I'll be your biggest cheerleader because that's what you deserve, really.
Oh, this is so inspiring. I think something that we love, something that really resonates with people about Bake Off is that it's like, it's average people. It's, it's amateurs. And as a result, you can really see yourself in the people on the show, and it really makes it feel attainable. And we have you to thank for us feeling that way and people like Aww. You. And so we just want to say a huge congratulations once again. And thank you so much for joining us on Compliments to the Chef. We are such fans, and we wish you nothing but incredible things on your next endeavors.
Thank you so much. And to you too. I love, P.S. I love Top Chef. So I'm going to go back and listen to all of your.
Oh, good. Okay,
good. I didn't
watch
it this season yet because I've been too busy. So, and I'll promote you on Mr. Bentley's World.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, we'll talk to you soon, Kim. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.